Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Is gold the best investment option for you? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is December 13th, 2013. We're on day two of Newsworthy Clips. Great to have you here joining us. And we've got Steve Marth and Amanda Young here back in the studio for our middle day of Newsworthy Clips. Hi, panelists.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. Hi, friends. Glad and great to be here.
Combination there.
Yeah.
Glad to have you there, Steve, and also Amanda. Glad you're here on our second Newsworthy Clip. Today we're going to be talking about gold. But, you know, before we get into our clip, let me get just one idea from yesterday, or maybe a vocabulary term or a phrase or something from yesterday, just as a little bit of a review for our listeners.
Okay. One thing I want to mention is how interested we have become in outer space. So just over the last 60 years, how much we're studying it, how many things we've put into space. And yesterday's article reminded me a lot of how we've been tracking space junk, right? You guys remember that?
Yep.
And we have monitors, and we're tracking every small piece, even small paint chips.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're having an article about tracking these huge, huge asteroids. And I thought that was very interesting, how we humans have become so interested in outer space, how important it is to us.
Well, there's a couple things. Space junk, you mentioned. Give me a couple examples of space junk.
Well, if there's a satellite that's broken down, or there's a little screw that gets loose.
Right.
It's circling around the Earth at tremendous speeds. It's very dangerous to astronauts and satellites, so we have to track it, make sure we don't hit it.
Right, and there are a lot of items right now, man-made items, circling the Earth. I believe there's over 10,000 items.
Very similar. Yeah, the number is very similar to the asteroids that we're tracking.
Yeah, and sometimes they do fall out of their orbit and crash into the Earth. Most of them burn up upon reentry, but some of them actually do hit the Earth. So I believe the most famous was the part of the Skylab.
I remember that.
Station that actually crashed. It was like the size of a bus, they said.
Yeah. Fell into the Pacific.
Fell into the ocean, I think, near New Zealand.
Indian Ocean?
Yeah, or somewhere
Pacific.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Not sure if the Indian Ocean or near New Zealand.
Okay.
So, all right, let me get a thought from Amanda from yesterday.
I would just agree with that. There have been a lot of movies out recently talking about space, which have been very interesting, I might add. But one word that drew my attention was the word orbiting. You know, we're talking about space here, but oftentimes we can jokingly say somebody is orbiting Starbucks or orbiting a certain store, trying to decide whether they're going to buy the item within the store, or they're orbiting a place that they like to be at. So we often hear that being used in a different way. And also the word, I think, annihilate.
Yes.
We talk about here destroying the Earth because we're talking about space, but sometimes people can use it to mean we're going to annihilate the competition.
Yeah, that's right. I hear that in sports. So if the New Zealand rugby team is taking on maybe
South Africa?
I don't know about South Africa. Maybe if they're taking on Paraguay, they might annihilate Paraguay.
Well, that's true.
So it might end up being like 83-2 or something might be the score. That would be an annihilation. And we often do hear that in sports. All right. So we were talking about outer space yesterday. Now we're digging into the Earth. We're digging for gold. And, you know, people are fascinated by gold. There's something about that. Over the millennia, people have died in pursuit of gold, right? Mm.
They have. It's always been precious. We've always found it precious. People want it because it doesn't lose its value, and that's one of the things we'll talk about today, how it maintains its value.
Right, and it's something that people often become obsessed with it. because they see this as, well, this is the one thing I can count on. I will never lose my money if I have gold, right?
Right. Gold is seen as a form of security. Whenever any other currency falls away, gold has always stood the test of time.
Yes, because many nations do base their currencies on gold, right?
They do, and some have taken their currencies off of what we call the gold standard.
Right.
So it's very interesting to talk about gold as opposed to paper money, what the differences are.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Well, you mentioned that because I know the United States did go off the gold standard. Of course, the United States has a huge stockpile of gold at Fort Knox and some other locations in the United States, and they did base their currency on gold for many, many, many years. However, they did go off of that just base. But countries do need some to prove that they do have a worth. Now, gold is a hot topic. People are always talking about it. But is it really the best investment for you? That's what we're going to talk about today with our newsworthy clip. So turn to page 23, and we will have three readings for today.
Ailing gold market presents a puzzle to investors. Gold prices have fallen more than 20% this year. As the precious metal market turns from bull to bear, the big question remains, will this trend persist? There's no definitive answer. What is certain is that gold has always had some intrinsic value. 90% of our customers are buying precious metals to protect their cash, said Mark Mamalian, a salesman at Scotsman Coin and Jewelry. There are several options to gain exposure to gold, each with its own pitfalls and benefits.
Ailing gold market presents a puzzle to investors. So it's always been, I would say, no question, a slam dunk for people to say, well, take some money and buy some gold. But that's not always true, and it's not always the best investment. And we kind of start off on that as to why.
Right. We see gold prices have fallen more than 20% this year.
Yeah. So gold prices it's not always going up.
It's not. But, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember over the last 5 years, the price of gold just rocketed and rocketed.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was artificially inflated for some time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so for it to fall 20%, yes, it did fall, but it fell from super astronomical heights. So it's kind of just leveling itself out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe I was trying to do some research on this, and I think about 7 or 8 years ago, the price of gold was around $500 or $600 per ounce. And then once the recession hit in 2008, then it really took off.
Yeah.
And actually, gold peaked, I believe, about a year, year and a half ago, at nearly $1,600, $1,600 per ounce, somewhere around there. Now, as we are recording this program, I did check the price of gold, and it was at $1,370 per ounce. So that's a little bit less than 20%, but that does indicate we've had some volatility with gold.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So even though it has fallen 20% this year, over the last 8 years, it would have been a good investment.
It's still a great investment. That's right.
Yeah. And so it's something to think about when you buy this. You better have some strong nerves and just be patient with it and just realize, look, I'm going to hold on to this thing. And I'm not going to be buying and selling this as it goes up and down. It's not like a stock. It's a very different investment. So, and because it is a commodity. And we get into, you know, this metal as far as it being precious in the next section.
Okay, it says, as the precious metal market turns from bull to bear, the big question remains, will this trend persist? So we're wondering, will the price of gold continue to drop? Now, let's back up really quickly. We see this bull to bear. If you're into finances at all, you'll recognize this. Bull means something good to investors. People are buying. use that U in bull to remember the word buy, the U in buy, okay? Mm-hmm. And bear is bad because people are selling. So a bull market is good. A bear market is not good for investors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bill, I have a real fun factoid about these two words. Bull comes from the word bullish,
mm-hmm.
okay? And people started using this in the 1800s to describe the stock market as rising in prices. They're hopeful and optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
The word bear, however, used in finances goes even further back. It's marked at 1709, so 200 years ago about. Mm. There was a proverb that said, sell the bearskin before one has caught the bear. And that's where that word comes from, people
really?
Selling the bearskin before you catch the bear.
Mm.
So it has that sense that you're selling and selling the stocks.
Okay. I did not know that. Of course, we see that all the time, bulls and bears, to represent Wall Street and other markets that we invest in. And, so it's very good history to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now, the question is, will this trend persist? Will it continue? We're talking about the drop in gold prices, and we're wondering if that 20% drop, will this persist? Will it continue? And the answer is?
There is no answer.
Huh?
Well, no definitive answer.
All right.
No steady or stable answer.
Okay. No clear answer when we say something has no definitive answer. Well, even the experts don't know.
Right.
So, all right. But what is certain?
It is certain that gold has always had some intrinsic value, some basic value. As you were mentioning before, whenever any other currency has fallen, people go back to the gold.
Mm-hmm.
They always have security in gold.
Okay. And in fact, in our next paragraph, we hear from Mark Mamelian, a salesman at Scotsman Coin and Jewelry.
He says 90% of the customers that he sees are buying precious metals to protect their cash. So I guess he's a salesman at this jewelry coin store, and he sees people buying gold at his store.
Mm.
Well, of course, I mean, everybody coming in there pretty much at this store is going to be buying some precious metal because that's what he does sell. But he's identifying 90% of them are explaining to him that they're doing this because they have some fear
right
about cash. What would a fear be about cash?
Well, we can go really deep into this, but I'm saying, Bill, what I would like to say is that the money we have in our pockets, mm-hmm. for the most part, is worthless.
Yeah.
It's worthless.
Yeah.
It's
on a theoretical part, I want to just tell our listeners that so that everybody doesn't run out now.
Yeah.
But on a theoretical basis.
Because if I have $100.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot buy a $100 gold coin. 100 years ago, I could have done that because the U.S. money anyway was based on the gold standard. But when it gets taken off the gold standard, that changes. And so I can no longer buy a $100 gold coin with my $100 because the $100 coin, gold coin, is worth much, much more than that.
Yeah. And in many ways, paper money is based on confidence.
That's right. Mm.
And all paper money systems are based on confidence. And we can see that where there are countries going along and then all of a sudden they'd be fine. And then all of a sudden they have rapid inflation and that $100 that might have been very valuable last week, but then in rapid inflation the next week, if inflation takes off, you can't even buy a loaf of bread with that $100.
That's right. But if you still had that $100 gold coin, you still have a very valuable thing which could buy the food that you need.
And in rapid inflation that next week, that $100 gold coin, the next week probably would have been worth $1,000 or whatever the money had gone up in. So that's why people are saying they're going to protect their cash. They feel a little bit worried about paper systems, and especially inflation is the one thing that they are trying to prevent themselves from getting burned by. And now we're going to get into this other thing here as far as talking about several options to do what, Amanda?
To gain exposure to gold. So to understand or be familiar with the currency of gold.
Yeah. And we're actually using this gain exposure to gold almost in a reverse form. We think of gaining exposure or being exposed to risk. Here they're talking about you have different options to get involved. with gold. Each one of it has what?
Pitfalls and benefits. There are good things and bad things. Of course, pitfalls is something bad. You don't want to fall into a pit. But a benefit, we know that word as being something good. So for people who want to get involved in buying gold, there are different choices you can make.
Okay, and we're going to learn about that in our next reading.
Physical gold, for instance, is less volatile in price than the indexes that track it. Tom Shearburn, store manager at Crestwood Coin, said the most popular investment pieces among his customers are gold coins. When you have a gold bar, you have to rely on an individual company to verify its authenticity, Shearburn said. Because a coin must be issued by a country, its integrity is beyond reproach. On the downside, gold requires further investment to store and insure. For the short-term investor, an exchange-traded fund, such as SPDR Gold Shares, offers some attractive features, not the least of which is relative liquidity. They're bought and sold like shares of stock.
Okay, we were just talking about gold and getting into it. There are pitfalls and benefits. So that's where we pick up here, talking about physical gold, for instance.
Yeah, at the top of the story, Bill and I were talking about how the price of gold changed so much over the past 10 years. It is volatile, meaning it's not stable, super stable, but it is more stable than most other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of people think that they can invest in stuff and that it will always just go up, up, up. Gold is one thing. Real estate is the other thing. A lot of people buy real estate thinking, well, I'm never going to lose. Mm. You can lose in anything. So, and now one of the things that also is volatile are the indexes. There are all sorts of indexes. We've got stock indexes, and there are indexes that follow different commodities, and you can actually invest in the indexes rather than the stock or the gold. So those actually tend to be more volatile than the metal itself. The good thing is you can gain more at certain times, but you can also lose more. Now we hear from Tom Shearburn in this next section, store manager at Crestwood Coin.
Right. He said that the most popular investment pieces among his customers are gold coins. So here we're talking again about this desire for people to go back to gold and have security in having gold in their hands.
And he explains this statement about the pieces, the coins versus bars.
I found this very interesting, actually. He says that most people, when you buy a gold bar, you have to rely on somebody else, another company, to verify that it's authentic.
Mm.
So you have to have another party involved when you buy a gold bar, which means you probably have to pay them for their advice or for their time. You have to find somebody to authenticate what you have. Buying a gold coin, however, is much easier because its authenticity is in the coin already. Mm-hmm. With the date stamped on it and the country's name stamped on it. And it's much easier to authenticate.
Yeah. Now, we look at gold bars up there at the top of page 23. And there have been instances, I believe, of them not being completely what they are, not being completely pure as far as what people say they are.
Yeah.
People will put other stuff in there, right? And so you may not be dealing with as much gold as you think you're dealing. That's what we're talking about. You need an outsider to verify the authenticity. But gold coins that are issued by countries, there are certain steps that the countries have to take, and they have to verify that the integrity is beyond reproach. That's integrity beyond reproach.
Right. Well, integrity obviously means the standard of the item and its genuineness. And being something being beyond reproach means that nobody can judge it. Nobody can look down on it and say, no, it's not that.
Right. Not question it, not doubt it.
Right.
So, all right, for instance, if there's like a Krugerrand that's issued by South Africa, then you might say, well, they have gone through the steps. It is. I can believe it. That coin is that gold coin is what it is, what they say it is. So that is beyond reproach. You're not going to question it. Whereas I think all of us would be in that same case, and many of our listeners would be. If you walked into a gold dealer and they showed you a gold bar, how would you know it is completely what it is?
You wouldn't.
You wouldn't. They are going to tell you that, but mm-hmm. nobody really knows without there's some certification accompanying that gold bar.
Right.
Yeah. Now, on the downside, what?
Gold requires further investment to store and insure. So if you bought a gold bar, where are you going to keep it? You're going to put it under your bed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone could come in very easily, rummage through your house, go through your closet. They'll find it. If they know you have
right.
it, it'd be very easy to find it in your house. Yeah. You need to put it in a safe place. You need to insure it. If it gets stolen or should something happen to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for instance, a lot of people might buy gold or gold jewelry, and they will put that stuff in a safety deposit box at a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds simple enough, but you pay for that.
Right.
There's a charge for that. That you have to factor that in, all right? And that actually eats away at whatever gains you might have in your gold investment. Now, for the short-term investor, what?
An exchange-traded fund such as SPDR Gold Shares offers some attractive features.
All right.
So we learn about the short term.
All right. And so for people that it's simple to get in and out of this SPDR Gold Shares, they invest in different types of gold and also gold companies that are related. And we see not least of which is what?
Relative liquidity. And Bill, I think you just described it perfectly. The ability to get in and out quickly mm-hmm. from the deals.
Okay. Now, when we say something like, I underline not least of which, that might be kind of confusing. How would we explain not least of which?
It's probably, I would say, when you see that phrase, it's one of the more important points. It's pointing to a very important point of what's being talked about.
Right. Okay. And I thought that might be confusing to our readers. And they're bought and sold like shares of stock. So in some ways, actually, SPDR is a very commonly pronounced spider. It's a NASDAQ group of funds that invest in various industries and on the NASDAQ market. So and these are just like, it's almost like a mutual fund. Bought and sold like a share of stock.
Okay.
You can get in and get out. You can do it right from your computer. So it's very different from actually having to physically go and buy gold. And again, you can just turn this thing around in a matter of seconds. All right, let's have our last reading for today.
YStar Holt, a partner at Holt & Shepard Capital Management, wouldn't advise entering the paper market. He instead antes up to bet on the mining industry. For his part, Holt predicts the layoffs and project cuts in the mining industry will contribute to the eventual stabilization of the gold market. As supply drops, he said, higher demand will prop up price. That's already begun in India, the world's largest consumer of gold, where demand for the metal could jump as much as 150%, the Wall Street Journal reports. Holt pointed to China, the world's second largest consumer of gold, as another driver of recovery.
Okay, now in this section, we hear from another person, YStar Holt, a partner at Holt and Shepard Capital Management. And what does YStar Holt have to say or recommend?
Well, he recommends or advises not entering the paper market. Okay, and we see the paper market is the unsecured short-term debt instrument used by a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So he advises not doing that. Instead, he antes up, which it's an unwilling thing. You know, he says, well, I wouldn't do this, but maybe I would do this. And he says to bet on the mining industry instead of the paper market.
Okay. So kind of a play on words there we see with antes up and betting on the mining industry.
Yeah, because when you're betting, when you're playing poker, there's a kitty in the middle where all the money goes. And sometimes you have to ante up if you want to stay in the game.
Right. Okay. So now for his part, Holt predicts what?
He predicts layoffs and project cuts in the mining industry which is something he wants to back and recommend, that will contribute to the stabilization of the gold market. Remember, we talked earlier about how the gold prices have been fluctuating over the years, and he thinks this will help stabilize the prices.
Well, I had mentioned earlier that one of the reasons gold did go up, jump in price 5 or 6 years ago, was because of the recession. And what happened is that a lot of people then got into gold mining. A lot of companies got into that. More projects were started. All of a sudden, gold became lucrative. So a lot of companies entered the industry, and also the ones in the industry increased the number of employees they had and increased the amount of mining they were doing worldwide, because everybody thought, wow, gold's worth more. It makes sense for us to get into this business. So then what happens is you end up with an oversupply of companies in the business, too many people working in it. And so that's what he's saying here. There needs to be a cutback in people and the number of projects. This eventually will lead to a much more stable price situation in gold.
Right. It's just like if there are too many doctors, then the demand drops.
Yeah.
So if you have too many people mining for gold and too much gold produced, the demand, there'll be so much out there that the prices will drop.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen.
All right. So now what he's saying is then, as the supply drops, then higher demand will prop up or support a higher price. That's already begun in India, which was kind of surprising when I read this, the world's largest consumer of gold. And what has happened there?
Well, the demand for metal has been increasing, and he predicts that this will increase to as much as 150%.
All right. In addition to India, there's another big consumer.
China, the world's second largest consumer of gold, is another driver in this recovery.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot of demand for gold is coming from this part of the world. So keep your eye on it. I would say don't automatically just jump in and buy gold. You need to be smart about this diversification. Also, I've always heard maybe 10% or 15% of your portfolio could be in gold. You don't want to go overboard on this, because it's just like anything. You don't want to open yourself up to too much risk just in one area of your investment. Listeners, thanks for joining us today. Come on back tomorrow. We'll see you then.